Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Conversion to Jesus Christ demands that we change our attitudes and our actions. We cannot continue to frequent places where immorality of all kinds flourishes. We cannot associate with people who drink, commit adultery, take the Lord's name in vain, and in general, live for the devil. We cannot totally separate ourselves from the world, or we would never be able to teach the lost the saving gospel of Christ. But we must keep ourselves from the evil one. God's Word demands that we put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouths. Colossians 3:8. In our brief study today, I shall speak with you about the word malice. Our English word malice is derived from a Latin word meaning bad. Webster's Dictionary of Synonyms provides the following synonyms of the word malice: malevolence, ill will, spite, despite, malignity, spleen, grudge. These words come into comparison when they denote a feeling or a state of mind which leads one to desire that another or others should suffer pain or injury. Page 527. This dictionary quotes these well-known words from Abraham Lincoln: "With malice toward none, with charity for all, let us bind up the nation's wounds." The dictionary also quotes George Bernard Shaw as saying, "There are people in the world with that degree of malice in them that cannot bear to allow a good man his merits." Page 527. The Greek word kakia, rendered malice, is also translated evil, wickedness, maliciousness, and naughtiness. J.B. Lightfoot's commentary on St. Paul's epistles to Colossians and to Philemon says the word involves that vicious nature which is bent on doing harm to others. Page 214. Paul used the word when he exhorted the Corinthians: "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men." 1 Corinthians 14:20. Children, generally speaking, do not hold grudges. They do not intend to do anyone harm. Malice characterized the Jewish leaders in their dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. They despised the message he delivered and the good work he did among the Jews. Their desire to do him harm drove him from many places and eventually placed him on a Roman cross. We can understand the motivation of pagan rulers in opposing the teaching of the Son of God, but it is difficult to comprehend how the spiritual leaders of Christ's day could be so cruel to one of their own countrymen. Such, unfortunately, is the nature of prejudice and bigotry. The Jewish leaders could have simply ignored Christ, but they were losing thousands of their followers to our Lord. The Scriptures tell us that the Jews were envious of Christ, but that does not excuse their vicious behavior. Paul also knew the destructiveness of malice. Almost everywhere he preached, he encountered men who were malicious toward him. A band of 40 Jews even made a compact among themselves not to eat or to drink until they had killed Paul. At Lystra, he was stoned, dragged outside the city walls, and left for dead. Some of the Jews at Corinth arrested Paul for preaching that Jesus was the Christ, took him before Gallio, the deputy of Achaia, and accused him of persuading men to worship God contrary to the law. Acts 18, verses 12 and 13. Fortunately, Gallio had enough sense to know that the fuss was about religion, so he dismissed the case. We know such malice exists in our world. It always has, and likely always will. But Christians must not hold grudges, seek to harm others, and engage in other kinds of evil. After all, Jesus said we are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.